Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 8:11 Central Time, and today is April 12th. I'm jumping on a plane back to Los Angeles today, so I'm recording the audio a little earlier than normal. But the thing that's really been occupying my mind over the weekend is impatience. And it seems like the entire world is impatient for this entire ordeal with the pandemic to be over. But that is spilling over into all manner of different sectors, whether that is political, geopolitical, or markets oriented. It seems to be that everybody is displaying impatience, and long held objectives that were on the back burner for years, sometimes even decades, are being brought forward, and there seems to be a new sense of urgency that everybody has, that they want to get what they had always wished for now, not in the future, and they want to have a fixed date on which they can bank on, that they can get what they wanted. And this is particularly true in geopolitics. And we can see, for example, that Israel is ramping up its determination that Iran is not going to have a nuclear weapon. So the attack on the Natanz facility in here over the weekend is an example of that. Well, China's 100th year anniversary of the founding of the Communist Party is coming up in July. The party's most dearest and longest held ambition is to fold Taiwan back into the communist mainland. It is still unachieved, and this policy that Taiwan has had of strategic ambiguity has worked rather well for the last 40 odd years, but now they're looking at increasingly attempting to force the issue. So that's obviously another sign of impatience. Russia's activities in the Ukraine, again, another sign of impatience. The determination of the Scottish nationalists, and indeed the Welsh nationalists, to push their agenda is again an additional sign of impatience, looking to take advantage of the, the vacuum of intent among the ruling classes around the world, because everyone is still worried about the rollout of vaccines, the pandemic, the rising number of cases from variants, and that is forcing politicians to take their eye off the ball. So now there are upstart movements popping up left and right, not necessarily in the mold of populists like we've seen in response to the global financial crisis, but rather in terms of wanting to set their own agenda. And I think lots of people have felt like that, particularly since they have been through a year where governments have done nothing but tell people how to live their lives. And it's inevitable that we're going to have some kind of revolution against that. So it's certainly a time when there is the potential that we're going to have a number of potentially rash decisions made. And that's also going through into the housing markets, where housing is certainly very hot right now in a whole range of countries. And then, of course, we have impatience among manufacturers in the semiconductors sector. I did a bit of shopping over the weekend, and we went to a number of appliance vendors, and they were saying, well, yes, this one is very nice, but you can't have it for at least another 4 months because there's an acute shortage of semiconductors. When we went to look at swim spas, the larger versions are looking at 1 year wait times, again, because of the acute shortage of semiconductors. So this issue with the supply chain in semiconductors is continuing to help to support the various stocks in the sector. So this is the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index in front of us. Then when we think about what's happening in the home market, well, in the UK, home prices continue to rise and Persimmon is coming back into the region of the peak from ahead of the pandemic. So in the process of now completing what is effectively a 3.5 year range, when we think about the some of the home builders in the USA, they're continuing. That's not the right one, sorry. KBH. They're continuing to trend higher and extending breakouts. Lennar Homes was also rather interestingly benefiting from its investments in apps and technology, but nonetheless, there's a high degree of commonality right across the home building sector. Then, of course, we have the fact that there is such enormous activity in the home buying and building sector that the cost of everything is rising and lumber prices remain very firm. Now, it's clearly accelerating, so it wouldn't be at all beyond the bounds of possibility that we start to see measures introduced to arrest the speculative activity because prices are up from about 300 to 1100 in the space of a year, and this is raising the cost of building everywhere. So, it's indicative of the rising costs of building everywhere as well. It's and just simply talking to people about their experiences with attempting to buy homes and the experiences of their children in buying homes. People that were looking at spending around $300,000 are being bid out. It's just impossible to pay the going rate for any house at the present time, and people are going to new builds because you can lock in your price, but then you have to wait until it's in fact built. And the cost of new builds is rising because of this uptrend in the lumber price. But there's also an acute shortage of workers. So a lot of people just simply were not working, even though the construction sector was virtually immune, really, from social distancing. Nonetheless, there was still a downtick in activity, and that is now coming back because of this impatience with people wanting to move and to get out of the lives that they had during lockdown and put that as far behind them as they possibly can. So we're definitely seeing outward migration from some places and then inward migration to the same places because there are plenty of people who did not live in big cities and have wanted to for a long time and now look at affordable prices and think, well, golly, I might not get another chance. So they're now migrating towards cities. But it's there are probably a lot of people crossing each other on the roads. And this is a phenomenon that's going on just about everywhere, and it's being fed by this demand for online working and therefore remote working. And as long as there is a tolerance for remote working in the corporate sector, then that will continue to fuel demand for migration. Then, of course, we have this impatience in the cryptocurrency markets. And Bitcoin is now steady around the 60,000 level. It briefly popped above it on Saturday, came back down on Sunday, and on Monday morning, still hovering around this level. There are two important news snippets around Bitcoin at present. The first is that Coinbase's IPO is heading for a $100 billion valuation. They could not have picked a better time to IPO the company. So that really is kudos for that management team. And then, of course, there is the potential that the new SEC chairman, who used to lecture in cryptocurrencies at MIT, will be more amenable to the potential for a Bitcoin ETF. Of course, there is the potential that because he knows so much about the volatility of cryptocurrencies, that he will not be of a view that it's an appropriate retail vehicle. So there are uncertainties here because obviously Bitcoin has rallied in advance of the IPO and on speculation that there will be an ETF in much the same way that it did in 2017. And now the question is whether this loss of momentum is just a consolidation and a big one at that, or whether it is an evolving top formation. But certainly this loss of momentum tells us that supply and demand have come back into balance. So it is at a critical juncture here. This is not as consistent a trend as we have seen over the course of the last year. There have been some significant inconsistencies. And the only thing that will reassert consistency in the trend would be a sustained and dynamic move above 60,000. And so far, it hasn't happened. Then, when we look at the Ethereum price, well, it is at least holding this move above the 2000 level, but it is high beta Bitcoin, and it is unlikely to be able to continue to sustain this move without Bitcoin also pushing on the upside. There are a large number of markets where we continue to see impatience. That's also the case with the stock markets. And Wall Street popped on the upside last week to push to a new high. And investors are really very eager to price in a full recovery, and that corporate profits are expected to rebound in a very profound manner in 2021, and that will help to justify the valuations as they currently stand. That is the base case, and it is feeding through into Europe as well, where the Europe Stoxx 600 is now pushing on to new highs, although just pausing in here today. This is also an example of impatience where people have been looking at this market for 20 years and it hasn't been able to break out, and now it is finally starting to show some evidence that there is a return to demand dominance. We can then think also about the Euro Stoxx Banks Index, and it is continuing to rebound, and it is holding this break back up into the overhead range above 80. And as long as it's doing that, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the recovery. So it does suggest that the worst case scenario for European banks does not appear to be viable, and there is instead the potential that we're going to see additional upside for Europe generally as they come through what has been an incredibly difficult period, and potentially that we're going to see inflation start to come back on a global basis. The reality is that Europe in particular was very intent on attempting to fix its debt problem through fiscal austerity after the sovereign wealth crisis. It didn't work, and it created a continent that was rife with social and political discontent. So it's extremely unlikely that they're going to follow that exact same playbook coming out of the pandemic. And that would suggest that Europe is going to continue to embark on easier monetary policy, and they may have to tolerate somewhat higher inflation regardless of what its mandates are. Nonetheless, the euro, and I think that is continuing to rebound here, and it's right in the region of the trend mean, because even though Europe might tolerate inflation, they're still going to have a political battle between the creditor and debtor nations. There's no battle in the USA. They want a weaker currency, and they certainly want inflation. And they've said repeatedly that they're not going to be scared by the next 3 months, which are pretty much guaranteed to create an inflation scare, because we have the base effect. So looking back at 2020 and the periods March, April, May, and indeed June, well, when we compare them on a year-over-year basis, there is going to be significant inflation. The next 3 months, we're going to see levels well in excess of 2%. And then, of course, the question will be, how likely is it that that will persist? But in the meantime, we're very clearly going to see this impatient market. And of course, inflation is an additional symptom of impatience, because what it forces people to do is to preempt market environments. So you need to make purchases early in order to protect yourself from prices rising in future. And that impatience is very much a part of the entire makeup of the market right now. Then, when we look at what's going on in China, well, the stock market was in negative territory today and in a reasonably dynamic manner, so coming back down to test the region of the trend mean. And I think that this is an additional thing that we're seeing with the Chinese administration. They're no longer willing to tolerate any potential threat to authority. And while it certainly was in their interest to allow the evolution of a domestic tech sector, then it's become too large, and from their perspective at least. So we're now starting to also see that the ChinaX index, which is the higher growth companies, has now encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean. So the fact that Ant Financial is going to be or they're going to create a holding company out of it, and that could potentially lead to the dissolution of the company, as they might be forced to sell various parts of it. What it suggests is that the growth potential for the Chinese market has got a lid on it. So the valuations that are normally attached to high growth companies stretch off into infinity, but it's simply not viable to do that any longer. And that means that regardless of what happens with interest rates, there is a clear cap on how large a Chinese company will be allowed to get. And that robs the market of a massive incentive for why anyone would want to buy. The whole rationale behind buying small tech companies is that you can buy 100 of them and 99 can fail, but the one that succeeds does so on such an enormous scale that you are compensated and then some for the failure of all the others. But if the upside is limited, then that entire investment business model is defunct. And it's certainly noteworthy that the Chinese growth sector is starting to come back down again. So there certainly it looks like the Chinese administration have lost patience with their domestic tech sector as well. Now, when we look at the bond markets, perhaps the only portion of the global market where investors are looking at the market with no sense of urgency at all is bonds, because central banks are not impatient. They are basically saying that they're not going to do anything until they have clear evidence of inflation returning. It's generally speaking when central banks become impatient that everyone else needs to become alert. So we certainly have some markets right now that are overbought, and we have the potential for some pause and consolidation and the unwinding of short-term overbought conditions. And I think that that is particularly relevant on Wall Street and also in Europe, where we've seen these markets push on to new highs. So it's quite likely we will see some consolidation. But then we can think about the bond market, there has been no real impatience at all from the bond investors. They've allowed yields to rise. They haven't been in a hurry to step in and buy. But there is a loss of momentum, and there is also the potential here that with some profit taking or the potential for some, I think, pause in consolidation, that bond yields will then become more attractive. But so far, it is holding this 1.6% level, and there is still a sequence of higher reaction lows. So we might have a loss of momentum, but this is still a reasonably consistent trend overall. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.